You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus, here to help make you a smarter Bears fan. Today, we are going to start going around the rest of the NFC North to catch up on what the Bears' division rivals are doing in free agency. My friend Luke Inman from ZoneCoverage.com will be joining me. We're going to talk about the addition of Kirk Cousins into the Vikings offense, the addition of Sheldon Richardson into the Vikings defense, and we'll try and get a good feel for where the NFC North favorites stand here after free agency heading into the NFL draft. I think this is an important process we need to go through here because, you know, as Bears fans get more excited about the potential of this team and the way Ryan Pace has made steps to make this a better team for 2018 and beyond, I think it's important that we keep in mind that the rest of the NFC North is adding talent too, and the team that might have done the most for themselves among the rest of the division is those Minnesota Vikings. Joining me now on the Locked On Bears podcast is my friend Luke Inman. He covers the Vikings and a lot of NFL draft for ZoneCoverage.com. He is one third of the Andy, Luke, and Arif Football Machine podcast, but he's the solo host of the Draft Rap podcast over at Zone Coverage. You can follow him on Twitter at Luke_Spinman. Luke, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Feels good to be on, my man. Great to talk to you. We haven't spoke since, I guess that would be the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama. I know you've been grinding and chopping it up quite a bit, so great to talk a little NFC North with you today, my man.
Well, you've been grinding and chopping quite a bit, particularly in the NFL draft, which we'll get to a little bit later on. But actually, you know, you put out a film breakdown of the newest member of the Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins, over at Zone Coverage, I think through your YouTube channel, eDraft, yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, kind of just my own personal channel right now, but most of the work is on Zone Coverage's YouTube as well, so check that out, Zone Coverage's YouTube channel as well. But yeah, man, broke down the newest addition, Kirk Cousins. Obviously, everybody knows him from his time in Washington, got drafted out of Michigan State, second-round pick. Funny enough, do you remember this, Lauren? The same draft as RG3. People forget, they drafted RG3, obviously add to be their new franchise quarterback for the next decade. And then what they do with their next pick, they drafted another quarterback. And it ended up being Kirk Cousins ended up taking over. So you never can have enough quarterbacks sitting in the background developing. But Kirk Cousins, yeah, made a little chop-up video, mostly of just the things he's done well. Trust me, there's plenty of time and off-season to break down all the flaws that he has to work on as well. But some exciting stuff. I mean, as you know, Lauren, probably the most consistent when it comes to statistics over the past 3 years, only quarterback of the past three seasons to throw over 25 touchdowns, 4,000 yards, and have a passer rating of over 90 each three seasons. So he's been the most consistent guy when it comes to quarterbacks available. I mean, the big thing is, too, that, Lauren, you just don't see big-name quarterbacks like this hit free agency. And if they do, they usually got some red flags, whether it's injury concerns or off the field stuff. Nobody like this kind of clean, pristine resume hits free agency at such an important position.
How much of an upgrade, in your opinion, will Kirk Cousins be over the likes of Case Keenum? And even compare him to Sam Bradford of 2016 when he was really balling out. How much of a step up do you think this is for the Vikings?
Yeah, it's wild. You mentioned Bradford, dude. It's wild because Bradford, week one, a primetime game opening the kickoff of NFL season for the Vikings, primetime against the New Orleans Saints, first game at the bank, and it was one of those where Bradford balled out, and it looked like Bradford could lead us to a playoff season as well, and then he gets hurt right after the game as well. So Bradford looked good. Obviously, a lot of Teddy Bridgewater fans here as well. But Case Keenum was the guy. We were sitting at 2-2. And the Packers, you know the Packers as Bears fans, were sitting, I think, at 3-2. They hadn't had their bye yet, 3-2. And it looked like Aaron Rodgers was going to run away with the year in the division again. And Anthony Barr ends up taking out Aaron Rodgers, as we know. And then Case Keenum ended up balling out. Now, Case Keenum, I'll say this. Case Keenum had a lot of help from Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Dalvin Cook was there for a hot second. The offensive line was much improved with the additions of Riley Reiff and Mike Remmers. He threw what we call a lot of YOLO balls. And it was a lot of those just jump balls. Hopefully your guy can make a play in one-on-one coverage. And Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen really helped him out quite a bit. I think the big thing that you're getting from Kirk Cousins, though, is you know, the Vikings needed some stability and just, you know, I use this word already, but consistency at the quarterback position. You know, the last 3-4 years, they've had a good playoff-ready roster, but whether it was Bradford coming in or Teddy or now Case Keenum, it was just this inconsistent kind of musical chairs of quarterbacks. If you're going to lead your team to, again, the big game, you need consistency at that position. The same guy week in and week out, a guy that you can count on. And that's why they shelled out so much money for a guy like Kirk Cousins. Now, I think, again, they have the consistency and stability. They know who their guy is week in and week out. Again, doesn't have the injury history like some of those other guys I mentioned, like a Sam Bradford and those knees, Teddy Bridgewater and the horrible ACL and dislocated knee accident 2 years ago. Kirk Cousins is going to be the guy, the rock, if you will, for the next 3 years. And I don't know how much better, at least statistically, he can be than what Case Keenum did give you, because Case Keenum balled out last year, man. One of the highest, if not the highest, passer ratings in all of the league. So you know he was very efficient. I expect really about the same, maybe a little bit better from Kirk Cousins. But, you know, again, I think it's just, again, the consistency that you can rely on him every week, not only this week, week to week, but year in and year out, too, this season going into 2021.
I know Vikings fans have been debating this a lot on social media, but in your opinion, if the Vikings had had Kirk Cousins in the NFC Championship game last year against the Philadelphia Eagles, and obviously not just dropped in there, but had, you know, knows the offensive system and had been the quarterback, if you drop him in that NFC Championship game, do you think the Vikings make the Super Bowl, and do you think the Vikings then win the Super Bowl?
It's a fair question, man, and I think, you know, the pivoting point in that Eagles game was actually when the Vikings were up 7-0. Case Keenum threw a pick six. You can't throw pick sixes in the NFC Championship game. You just can't do it. You just can't. There's no way around it. I mean, it's going to be such a close, hard-fought game as it is. You can't give the ball up and especially turn it into immediate points like that. Would Kirk Cousins have made the same mistake? I'd like to say no. I don't think so, but let's give credit where credit's due, man. The Philadelphia Eagles built a powerhouse. That defensive line, I keep going back to their trenches. Their trenches where the game is won and lost. I know we get caught up in a lot of the en vogue passing game stuff, the lot of playmakers in the secondary and the receivers because it's fun, it's sexy, there's highlights, but the game is won and lost in the trenches. The Eagles built a powerhouse, not only the offensive line, but their defensive line rotation, not just their starters, Lauren, and I know you know this, their rotation, it was 8 guys deep, and they could play 4 defensive ends at one snap and 4 defensive tackles on the next snap, and they wouldn't skip a beat. I mean, the rotation of depth was outstanding. It really was showcased throughout the entire playoffs, and really when Carson Wentz went down and Nick Foles took over, you saw, again, just how good both those trenches were. And I think the Eagles were the better team. They really were. Were they a 38-7 better team like the score predicted? I don't think so. But, again, once you lose some momentum, like Case Keenum lost that momentum when he threw that pick six, and even though it was just 7-7, it was just tied, the life was just completely sucked out of that team and that roster. The Eagles fans got in it. It was a really, really well-put-together team, top to bottom, by the Philadelphia Eagles front office. And, you know, they proved that not only beating the Falcons, a great team, the Vikings, but, of course, the New England Patriots. So I give credit where credit's due. Would Kirk Cousins have won that game? Not sure. I think they would have at least had a better chance. But I think ultimately at the end of the day, I think the best team probably did win the Super Bowl.
Well, and I saw today on Twitter that the rumors are the Vikings and Eagles are going to rematch for the opening game of the 2018 season on Thursday Night Football.
That's right.
So we might get the answer, you know. If
yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit different for both teams. But, you know, we'll see exactly maybe if that answers some what-if questions. But we're talking Minnesota Vikings free agency with Luke Inman from zonecoverage.com. Luke, with this big, you know, three-year, $84 million, fully guaranteed contract Kirk Cousins got, do you think he has to lead the Vikings to a Super Bowl win to justify the size and the fully guaranteed aspect of that contract? Or what does he have to do to be worth it to you?
Yeah. Yeah. Another good question, Lauren. I think that, you know, he needs to come in and just be Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins is a damn good quarterback. I'll say Kirk Cousins, as much guff and fuss was made that he's not an elite top seven guy and you're paying him top five money. This is nuts. He's a damn good quarterback at the end of the day. And I hate to say this part, but he really does excel. And this makes sense for any quarterback. His game elevates, Lauren, when the players around him are elevated. And I think right now, you know, Case Keenum probably wasn't an NFC championship caliber type of quarterback, but the team around him was built so well that he was just able to be himself. And the rest kind of fell in place because, again, the defense was so good. The weapons around him was so good. The running game was so good that they were winning games week in and week out. I think Kirk Cousins should just be Kirk Cousins. And the roster right now, more importantly, the roster is so good that the rest should take care of itself. And they should be at least an NFC championship caliber team again. Ultimately, yes, when you pay a guy like this, the aspirations and the dreams are to go win a Super Bowl. It's tough to be the last man standing after 31 other teams. It really is. And that's the one big thing. Being a Viking fan, we're not that far deep in the playoffs every year. I sat back and thought about it, Lauren. I go, man, you really need everything to go right for you to ultimately host that Lombardi, because it is tough to be the last man standing out of 32 teams. It really is. And you look at how many good, and I know you share my pain on this one, Lauren, being a Bears fan in the NFC North NFC. Dude, look how good the NFC has gotten the past few years. I sat there and said, hey, any one of these six seeds in the NFC could ultimately go beat the number one seed, whoever ends up being in the Super Bowl for the AFC, because every team was so good, whether it's the Falcons, the Saints, the Panthers, you know, the Packers are going to be in it again this year. The Bears are getting better. The Seahawks, okay, they've gutted house, but now all of a sudden, you know, you've got some other teams in there, like the Rams have taken over the NFC West. The NFC is loaded, man. So ultimately, will it be a disappointment if the Vikings don't win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins? Of course, absolutely. But, you know, I'm not going to say it's going to be the end-all, be-all, because, you know, you really need to have the perfect season go into place for yourself and your team, injuries included, to ultimately host Lombardi. So I think if Kirk Cousins just is Kirk Cousins, it's kind of a boring answer as that is, this team is Super Bowl caliber. It's ready now to go win a Super Bowl. But again, everything, kind of the magic needs to unfold. Everything needs to happen the right way.
It's my understanding that the Vikings have some pretty key players here coming up with contracts that are expiring in the next couple years. How much do you think Kirk Cousins' contract is going to limit some of their future flexibility in this salary cap? And how long do you think this window for a championship is going to remain open?
Yeah, another good question, Lauren. I think this window right now, and you know this too. I mean, it's one of those things where you think about it, and then it's backed up by Rick Spielman pushing his chips all in right now. Very rare and uncharacteristic for this front office to go shell out big boy money in free agency, more so as a team that's usually just builds through the draft and retains their own guys when their contracts are up because they developed them. They know these guys inside and out, and they want to retain them. He pushes the chips all in, not only gets Kirk Cousins, he gets Sheldon Richardson, 2013 Defensive Rookie of the Year, a guy who balled out at Missouri and was a top 15 pick. You know he can be outstanding and play at a Pro Bowl level, and that's just not, again, characteristic for this front office. So they're saying, hey, our window is right now. Ultimately, I put it at a 2, maybe 3 year window. Again, it was a window last year where, again, probably was a Super Bowl caliber team. So that's 3 years that you have a Super Bowl roster. And I think, you know, when you look at the free agents that you mentioned, some big names here, check them out. There's four big ones that people should get to know. Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, Danielle Hunter, and Stephon Diggs. All are going to be free agents next year. This contract, they front-loaded it, though, Lauren, so that helps a lot kind of soaking up the money this year and not hurting them too much or as much next year. But ultimately, for those big-name free agents, can they keep all those guys with that Kirk Cousins contract? I'll say no. I'll say this front office and Rob Brzezinski does a really good job of kind of redoing a lot of deals or restructuring a lot of deals so that they can retain some guys. But ultimately, I bet you they probably lose one of those names. I think Danielle Hunter and Stephon Diggs, you got to keep. I think linebacker, as big of names as Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr, I think linebacker, you can just find other linebackers in the draft. You know, Eric Kendricks was the 40th pick overall, second round. That's a second round guy. You can find linebackers in the draft. Anthony Barr, ninth overall pick, probably drafted way higher than he was supposed to be drafted, though. Drafted more off potential, if you remember, coming from UCLA, a former running back, very raw. Probably should have been more of a late first round guy. You can find linebackers. I think it's my guesstimation that Eric Kendricks or Anthony Barr will be one of those two that they choose or are unable to re-sign next year because of the Kirk Cousins contract. So you're right, Lauren. I mean, such a big contract, there's going to be cap casualties. And they knew that going in. So we'll see this draft. What they do in this draft should tell you a lot about which guy they're maybe thinking about maybe not being able to re-sign next year. So if they go linebacker in the first two rounds, even though on paper they're fine this year at linebacker, that tells you that they're probably looking ahead to next year saying, hey, we're probably not going to be able to re-sign Kendricks or Anthony Barr.
Well, we're definitely going to get into the Vikings draft here in just a little bit. I want to touch on Sheldon Richardson here because you mentioned him there.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy that goes from the Jets to the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And really, in my opinion, I don't think he ever stopped playing at a high level, even though he didn't continue the huge sack numbers, but still was making plays against the run and getting pressure against the quarterback. So I got a two-part question for you with him. How much better does he actually make the Vikings defense, given how good it has already been? And do you think the Vikings still get Sheldon Richardson on this one-year deal if the Vikings don't land Kirk Cousins before him?
Oh, another good question with the Kirk Cousins part. I think they were going to look long and hard at him anyways, because I think, to answer your first question, this defense, and I don't think I'm being a homer here at all, I think it's an A-minus right now. Would you agree with that? I mean, B-plus, A-minus, just on paper,
statistics. Yeah.
It's an A-minus right now. I mean, certainly, again, they got exposed in the NFC Championship game a little bit. Again, the momentum, though, playing on the road, hostile crowd, a little bit different situation. But, you know, they did kind of wear down towards the end. Really, they shouldn't have won that Saints game, all things considering. But I think it's an A-minus. I think really this moves this team, at least the potential, from an A minus to an A, because really when you look at the only weak spots on this roster, the three technique was one of them. They were getting away with rotating. Check out these names. I mean, the common fan isn't going to recognize Shamar Stephen, a seventh round pick from UConn, and Tom Johnson, a 34-year-old kind of veteran journeyman free agent we picked up from the Saints, who I will say has been lights out, all things considering, being a over-the-hill 30-year-old rotational guy. He's been great. Shamar Stephens played his role as a first and second down run stopper pretty good, but that's a weak spot right there. And playing next to Linval Joseph, Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter, you want one more name in there. And I think Jahlil Johnson from Iowa, the fourth-round pick last year, didn't sniff much action. He's going to be in the rotation. Again, rotation. Think Eagles, think copycat league. You need a deep rotation. He's going to be in the rotation, but now you have that kind of B plus or A minus three technique. Now you can thrust in there with Sheldon Richardson. Maybe didn't live up to the hype statistically in Seattle last year, but trust me, he's getting pressure. He's shooting that A gap. He's shooting again the three technique. getting kind of pressure up the middle. That interior pressure is, you'll ask any quarterback, the hardest to stop. And when you got Linval Joseph soaking up two blockers next to him, Sheldon Richardson's going to get every opportunity to, again, become that kind of all-pro guy that we saw him come out of Mizzou and play for the Jets the first 2 years in 2013 and 2014. So I would say it's an A minus right now. It moves it to an A. I think they were going to go after Sheldon Richardson regardless of what happened with Kirk Cousins. I think Mike Zimmer came in here and took the head coaching job thinking that Sharif Floyd was going to be that guy. He was already looking like a top five, three tech in the league. Goofy freak injury when he goes to get his knee scoped out. He comes out, his quad isn't firing anymore. They get a little concerned, but don't put too much stock into it. All of a sudden, here we are 3 years later. The guy's probably going to have to retire. Really sad story. But again, not a pick that Rick Spielman missed on, just a freaky type of injury. And now all of a sudden, Zimmer's been banging the table, say, hey, I need my three tech. I had one in Cincinnati. I thought I was going to get one here in Minnesota. Now I need you, Rick, to go get me a three tech. He went and got Sheldon Richardson. I'm excited. And Vikings fans should be too, for what he's going to be able to do with Sheldon Richardson on top of an already really good front four. But again, for me, Lauren, it adds to the rotation. You see the Eagles in that eight-man rotation. It adds to the rotation, just one more name into that rotation so you can stay fresh and throw really different mismatches and looks, schemes, and different fronts like Mike Zimmer loves to do into this rotation for opposing offensive lines to, again, kind of stay on their heels. I'm excited for this move.
So the Vikings have Kirk Cousins in place. You know, Sheldon Richardson solidifies the defensive line. Still got the great wide receivers coming back. Young running back coming off the injury. Obviously, arguably the best safety in the NFL. Some quality cornerbacks. Where are the biggest weaknesses on this team? And when it comes to the NFL draft here, where do you see them going with that 30th overall pick?
The trenches, I keep, not to sound redundant, the trenches, again, you always want to continue to bolster the trenches where the game's won and lost. Again, copycat league, look at the Eagles, they killed that. I think offensive line was going to be a two-year project starting last year. If you remember at all, the Vikings were down to about their 11th offensive lineman. They were plucking guys like Jake Long off the streets. TJ Clemmings was forced to play. There was some names in there you probably wouldn't even recognize.
Willie Beavers, right?
Willie Beavers, for God's sake, Lauren. It was a mess, okay? This was just 2 years ago, and people wonder why Bradford and Teddy Bridgewater, you know, I mean, there was a lot of question marks going on that Sam Bradford doesn't look that good and Pat Shurmur should be fired. This guy doesn't call a pass play longer than 2 yards on third and eight. This guy should be fired. Well, it turns out people didn't realize how bad the offensive line was, and they truly couldn't protect anybody. That was a two-year project starting last year. They did really good. They went and signed guys like Riley Reiff from Detroit, Mike Remmers from Carolina, drafted Pat Elflein, who was great, drafted Danny Isadora, who you're going to hear this year. But it's a two-year deal. This year, they need to go finish the job. They need to go get one more starter now that Joe Berger's probably going to retire. And Jeremiah Searles was a great depth guy. Looks like he might go sign with Carolina as we speak. Keep an eye on that. If he does, that adds to, again, the urgency of adding more depth there. I think offensive line, again, it was a two-year project. Don't get content, even though you improved 1 year. You need to go finish the job. You need to create, construct a top 10 offensive line, somewhat like the Philadelphia Eagles have. That means targeting an offensive lineman with that 30th pick in the draft. If not, if there's a guy that's just too good to pass up, just, you know, BPA, best available, whether it's one of those great cornerbacks fall in your lap, like a Mike Hughes from UCF or Isaiah Oliver from Colorado, one of those guys, then yeah, pull the trigger and then go target again an offensive lineman like Austin Corbett from Nevada. Maybe Billy Price falls because of the pec injury in the second round. I don't know. But offensive line, again, to finish the job of a two-year job will be a priority in likely the first round, if not for sure the second round. So keep an eye on that. Outside of that, I just mentioned cornerback. You know, Trey Waynes is going to be a free agent here eventually. Terrence Newman whether he plays one more year or not, you have to just assume he's out and you have to replace him. And then, of course, Mac Alexander, you know, he just hasn't lived up to the hype that I thought. I was a big Mac guy coming out of Clemson. They moved him to slot and nickel corner only, though, and that kind of bummed me out because I just thought he was at his best at Clemson on the boundary, using that boundary to his advantage. Slot, we know how much harder it is to play the slot in this NFL in today's day and age, but he really hasn't lived quite up to the hype. They're for sure going to give him one more year, but I think cornerback might be an option there to think about. Again, I mentioned that Trey Wayne's going to be a free agent here eventually. With the Kirk Cousins deal, I mentioned the four big-name free agents. Maybe it's Trey Waynes they ultimately end up letting go. So cornerback would be another big one. Outside of that, I think, again, Rick Spielman and the front office, Rob Brzezinski, they do such a good job of looking to the future. Maybe not the needs that we have necessarily this year, but who's going to be free agents next year? Who are we going to have to replace? Who's getting a little bit older? Things like that. I think they do a really good job of that. And that just goes back to, again, who do they think of those big four free agents that I mentioned? Are they, you know, the least likely to retain? I still go back to thinking of Hunter, Diggs, Kendricks, and Barr. I think it's one of those linebackers, Kendricks or Barr. Could be wrong on that. Could be Stephon Diggs. Could be Danielle Hunter. But I think it's one of the linebackers. Wouldn't surprise me if they drafted a linebacker on day two. That means second or third round. That kind of puts the writing on the wall for me that they're probably going to replace one of those guys.
Well, the Vikings have some flexibility there to go best player available. And, boy, you know, I really feel like I got the best Vikings analyst available for Lockdown Bears. Luke, it has been a pleasure having you on. Remind the listeners again where they can find you on Twitter and where they can find not only your Vikings work, but your NFL draft stuff that even Bears fans will want to watch.
Always appreciate coming on with you, Lauren. It's always good talking with another non-Packer NFC North analyst. That's always the dream, right? I mean, we don't always have to agree on every topic, but we do agree on, hey, we got to knock off the Packers this year. So far, so good last year. Let's keep it going. Check me out on Twitter at Luke_Spinman. Check all my work, video breakdowns, podcasts, including the Draft Rap podcast on Zone Coverage. That's zonecoverage.com.
Luke, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon.
Thanks again to Luke Inman for his excellent Minnesota Vikings analysis. If you enjoyed our conversation today, make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. You can also like us on Facebook and follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can find myself on Twitter at CoxSports1. For the rest of this week, we are going to go around the rest of the NFC North and find out what the Green Bay Packers and Detroit Lions have been up to. And then next week, we're really going to start diving into the NFL draft. So there's plenty of reason here to keep it locked on your favorite Chicago Bears podcast, Locked On Bears. And make sure you bear down.